Hello, everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, and coming up in this episode, we've got loads of football to talk about, J2 and J3 teams in Cup and League action. Later on, Mike Innes has JTalk Short Corner with J3 Focus. But before that, John Steele's here to help me talk about the J2 teams. John, how are you?
Yeah, very well. James, how are you doing? And I should say happy birthday. Many happy returns. I know you're 25 this morning.
Yes, thank you very much. Couldn't think of a better way to spend my birthday than talking about J2 with you. I try not to say that in a sarcastic tone of voice, but I just can't.
we'll have to edit. We'll edit that out. Don't worry.
No, I'm gonna leave it in. Let's get stuck in, shall we? Because there's lots to talk about. Like I said, we're gonna start by talking about some of the Levan Cup first round matches that took place on Wednesday night. We're going to focus on, well, mostly on the J2 winners. So a few results before we get into details. We had Gunma saw off Sagamihara 4-1 after extra time. And then Okayama also won 4-1. That was away to Miyazaki, although three goals in the last 25 minutes kind of put a bit of a gloss on that. Miyazaki fought quite well there. Akita won 2-0 away to Sanuki. Shion Niwa got a stoppage time goal to seal that one. There were a couple of all J2 matches. Kagoshima beat Jeff 1-0, a penalty from Shota Suzuki. And Ehime Nagasaki, this was a brilliant match. After extra time, finished Ehime 3, Nagasaki 4. But there is one upset that we're going to talk about, I think. YSCC 1, Mito 0. You were at this game, John, so can you tell us a bit about that?
Cup fever swept Michizawa last midweek, James, as you pointed out. Yeah, I got a free ticket for this game from the J-League official website's kind of spring promotion or new season promotion. So I was behind the goal with the YSCC supporters with a free ticket. But I think it probably wasn't a classic game, you know, to watch as a neutral, but it was a classic cup tie in the sense that YSCC were, you know, obviously the underdogs hosting a team from J2, and they managed to pull off. I think we talked about this when we were previewing the Levan Cup, because J2 and J3, the gap is not always clear. The gap's not always that big. So I'm not sure how much we can talk about upsets or shocks at this early stage, especially because so many J2 teams kind of rotated very heavily in terms of starting lineups. But I think by, you know, considering the size of YSCC, what kind of club that is, I think it does count as an upset, clearly. And the goal that won the game midway through the second half from Koki Matsumi was an absolute belter. With the outside of his foot from the edge of the penalty area. I actually, rare experience for me, because I was right behind the goal where this ball went in. It looked like a great goal at the time, and I think I tweeted that. And then I kind of had that moment of thinking, well, did it just look really good in the stadium? And it wasn't that good. But watching it back on TV, I think it's even better than I thought at the time. So, yeah, superb goal from Koki Matsumura to win it. And, YSCC had Yutaro Yanagi sent off with about 10 minutes to go, and they had to kind of batten down the hatches, and it was all hands to the pumps and other cliches. But to be honest, YSCC had defended for their lives for pretty much the whole game. Anyway, there was always, a kind of a sky blue shirt, you know, blocking a cross or getting in the way of a shot, you know, bodies being flung left and right in the penalty area. So it's very hard to argue that they didn't deserve to go through. I think they did a really good job on the night. And their reward, I think very excitingly for YCC fans, is they'll have another home game against FC Tokyo in round two. So there will be presumably quite a large travelling contingent, much larger than you would usually get in J3.
Mm.
So, I think everybody connected with YCC, including me, is looking forward to that. So, well done to YCC. Fantastic from them. I think Mike Innes is probably going to have something to say about that in JTalk Short Corner as well. I will say for Mito, they rotated their entire starting 11 from the previous J2 game. So although they might feel a bit unlucky that they've gone out, you know, to a single goal, I don't think you can really complain too much if you've made so many changes. Obviously, they thought their second string would be good enough to get them through. But apart from Shimon Terunuma and Seichiro Kubo up front, who I thought looked lively, especially in the first half, it was, they just couldn't really react once they'd gone behind. And you sensed kind of why SEC seemed to, you know, grow a couple of inches in stature when they scored, and Mito shrunk a couple of inches, and that was the difference in the end.
Yeah, I only watched the highlights of this one, but that was a brilliant goal. And you've got to say that Mito, before that, they had enough chances, I think, from Terunuma and Kubo. And what was interesting, though, was it seemed like after they scored, YSCC then started pushing even more to try and get a second, which was quite interesting. Mm-hmm. But as you said, team changes their entire starting 11. I think it's pod policy to pour scorn and disdain on them. So Mito Hollyhock in the Hall of Shame for this week, at least. I think. All right, then let's talk about Ehime Nagasaki, because this was fantastic. Goals for Nagasaki in the second minute from Edgar Jr. And then Ben Duncan equalised with a penalty for Ehime in the 23rd minute. And then Matias Jesus scored in the 32nd minute to make it 2-1 to Nagasaki at half time. Then in the 77th minute, Ehime made it 2-2, Kyoya Funahashi. And then they went ahead in the 82nd minute, Ryo Sato. A stoppage time penalty from Juanma Delgado made it 3-3 and took it to extra time. Matias Jesus scored in the 118th minute to clinch a 4-3 win. A few minutes earlier, Ehime had had a player sent off for a second yellow, two kind of rash challenges. This was great fun.
Yeah, well, I think you sort of texted me after watching this game, because this was the game that was shown free to air, wasn't it, on Lamino, which is a streaming... Is it Docomo? Docomo runs this service. Yeah, so the Docomo-operated kind of streaming platform, Lamino. They have one game per round kind of free to watch, don't they? And this was the free one. So everybody got certainly got their money's worth, so to speak, with seven goals. And you texted me to say Ehime are going to be a fun watch this season. Mm-hmm. And I think not to preempt our kind of J2 chat coming up in a moment, but yeah, they kind of lived up to that at the weekend in J2 as well, didn't they? So yeah, they're going to be a team that scores a lot and concedes a lot, it seems like. That's good fun. I think for Nagasaki, this could prove to be a bit of a springboard for the league season. This is kind of why I don't understand rotating the entire squad, you know, for cup games, because if you started, I don't know if it's fair to say Nagasaki started poorly, but they looked a bit undercooked in the first couple of league games, and then winning in the cup like this could prove to kind of be the catalyst for them to kind of go and perform better in the league. And I think when we come to talk about J2, that might have proved to be the case. And Juanma Delgado, obviously, he hadn't scored in the first two league games. He was able to get off the mark, albeit with a penalty in this one. So I think that will stand him in good stead. I think my favourite goal was that Ryo Sato one that put Ehime 3-2 ahead, right? Yeah, absolutely fantastic sort of shoulder drop and cracking shot in off the post from the bottom corner. It's not the same Ryo Sato who plays for... place for Gunmar. It's different person. Yeah. But lots of sharp shooting in this game, I thought. Accurate shooting. And the post being hit on a few occasions. I think Wanmar had a shot off the post, didn't he, in extra time as well, before Matias Jesus got the winner. And even that hit the post on its way in. So, yeah, fantastic entertainment. And just a more general point, you know, the Levan Cup has this new format with the J2 and J3 teams being rolled in. And I think just based on this, we only got kind of half the fixtures, didn't we, on Wednesday, and the rest are coming up this midweek coming. But yeah, based on the first kind of nine matches, I think it's obviously a really positive change. And I think having the J2 and J3 teams in just generated a bit of excitement. And some goals, clearly. What did you make of it, James? I know you watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought like I said, it was really fun. I think, Nagasaki will be pleased that their attack's finally done something, because they looked a bit... Yeah, I don't think it's fair to say they started poorly, but definitely slowly, started the season slowly. To be honest, I think they could have had plenty more goals. They could have scored a lot more than just four in this game. There was some pretty wayward finishing, and also some good defending from Ehime. And I think... You're right that not rotating too much can be a springboard, because these guys who did all the damage in attack for Nagasaki in this game also did all the damage in attack at the weekend in their very impressive win that we'll probably talk about in a few minutes. As far as Ehime are concerned, their manager talks about wanting to play kind of action football, where they're kind of aggressive, they try and make things happen in attack and in defence. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year, based on this game, based on the highlights of the first two league games, based on the highlights of the game from this weekend just gone as well. I thought the wide players looked very good in this match. There's plenty of action. They're not shy about having a go. And yeah, I think Ehime will be a team to watch this year. Also, I think like the format, yeah, it seems like it's going pretty well so far. We've only had a few games, but there are 3,500 in Kagoshima for the Jeff game, which is excellent. And in what I had over 1,000 at YSCC for a cold Wednesday night.
It was game. Cold. Can confirm it was cold.
Yeah, and so this seems pretty positive so far. The game's entertaining. And we've only talked about a few of the games. Mike's going to cover the rest of the games a bit later. But I would say that from what it seemed like, the highlights, even the J3 teams who lost weren't embarrassed. I mean, Sagamihara lost 4-1, but they took Gunma to extra time.
I think it's only...
Miyazaki as well. They lost 4-1, but three of those goals were in the last 25 minutes.
Yeah, I think only Gunma's fourth goal is a bit embarrassing because Sagamihara were just absolutely out on their feet and exhausted. Yeah. And I think, to be honest, Kosuke Sagawa scored it. I think he was probably offside, actually, although the flag didn't go up. But it's just funny to watch a team who, I think we could perhaps we'll be kind and call it tired defending from Sagamihara on that fourth Gunma goal. Yeah, but sorry, carry on.
Yeah, no, so I think that... Yeah, the J3 teams who didn't win still put up a good show. And I think we're probably going to be in for some good games this Wednesday as well, which we'll preview those a little bit later on. And if people keep listening for J-Talk Short Corner at the end, they'll hear about the rest of the games from last Wednesday with some quite impressive, even more impressive performances from the J3 contingent. But let's move on and talk about league matches, shall we? J-Talk Extra Time. On Saturday, the 9th, there were four games. Iwaki beat Kagoshima 3-1. Yokohama FC beat Yamagata 2-0. Kofu went down 2-1 at home to Tochigi. And Tokushima lost 2-1 at home to Akita. John, anything kind of catch your eye from Saturday's games?
I think it's interesting. We had four games, and in each game, a team, you know, four teams all got their first wins of the season, right? Mm. None of them had picked up 3 points in match day one or match day two. Tochigi winning away at Kofu, definitely the surprise. Don't think anybody saw that coming. Lovely kind of flicked kind of back header from Koki Oshima to put Tochigi ahead in that game. But Kou Miyazaki came off the bench to poke in the winner. I think Adailton scored a penalty to equalise for Kofu in that game. I think that's his first Kofu goal, so he's up and running from the spot. But yeah, Tochigi, I mean, wow, they've looked really... I mean, it's too harsh to say Nagasaki have looked poor in the first two games, but Tochigi certainly have looked very ragged. For them to go and win at Kofu is typical J2, really. Akita as well, yeah, I don't think this kind of felt like a big game for them because they'd lost the first two, hadn't they? And then, yeah, the winning goal in this game from Kazuya Onohara, an absolute thunderbolt from the edge of the penalty area. Fantastic strike from him. And I think Akita will be pleased. Martin Spive will be delighted they came from behind to win this game. Fantastic goal from Onohara. For Tokushima, three straight defeats. I think they're the only team that hasn't got any points so far. Jose Aurelio Suarez, we better talk about him. I think he was at fault for the equaliser for Akita, a free kick that kind of went through everybody and crept in at the far post. And he, my kind of defining sort of memory of Tokushima so far this season is just his annoyed shouting being picked up by the on-pitch kind of microphones as they concede again. So I think three games is still early days, as kind of our supporters will probably agree. But if Tokushima letting in far too many soft goals, and that's not something we expect when Jose Suarez is the keeper. So yeah, work for them to do. For Iwaki, winning 3-1 against Kagoshima, I think Kaina Tanimura was the star man, wasn't he? He headed in two goals, and then he set up Yuto Yamashita, who fired in the third. So yeah, it's a standout performance from Kaina Tanimura, and first win of the season for Iwaki. They're up and running. And for Yokohama FC, luckily... they got the job done, so all is well in the J-Talk John household this weekend. I think there was an early scare with Yamagata hitting the bar, but then there was a goal in each half from Caprini and a lovely individual goal from Yoshihiro Nakano in stoppage time in the second half, and I think it was a deserved win. I think my theory is Shuhei Yamada knows knows the kind of threat of Zaini Saka and Koki Sakamoto, because obviously he's managed them both at Yokohama FC before, and by negating them, we were able to get the job done. I think for Yamagata, obviously starting with three straight away games, as is typical for the sort of northernmost teams, and yeah, it was just a little bit, you know, they picked up maximum points from the first two games, and this one was maybe a bit too far for them. So yeah, very, very satisfying to get the win, the clean sheet for Yokohama. But yeah, what did you think of the Saturday games, James?
Yeah, I think that point about shutting down the Yamagata's key men is a good one, because we saw the week before that Zaini Saka was the key man. He was involved in all three of Yamagata's goals, wasn't he? So, that was good tactics. And the players actually managed to do it as well, because one thing having the tactic, but another thing having the players that will actually follow the plan and be able to do it. So yeah, a good win for Yokohama FC. I'm a little bit worried about Solomon Sakuragawa. It's just not going for him, is it? Still, he had that penalty miss. Was it last week? He missed a penalty.
It was saved. Yes.
Oh yes. And then this week just gone, he had a header from 2 yards that somehow went in the wrong direction.
Are you saying that I shouldn't have spent 22,000 yen on his shirt with you know, a shirt with his name and number on? Have I cursed? It's my fault.
If you did, I think you should just be grateful that they don't charge by the letter. Oof. And next time you should choose someone with a shorter name. I, after Saturday's games, I watched Iwaki against Kagoshima, and it was good to see Iwaki finally taking chances, because this is the thing that was an issue for them last year. And Leslie Mabon talked about it in his review and preview. So Iwaki looked pretty good going forward, but then when it comes to actually taking chances, they don't do it. And also defensively, they did well. We know defence has been an issue for them at times. And so, yeah, a good win for them. Very impressive performance from Kaina Tanimura. Kagoshima, I think it was a bit of a tough day for them, but I don't think they need to panic. They seem like they're doing okay so far this year. Well, a win, a loss, and a draw. That's not a bad start. It's one win more than Tokushima, who Martin Spivey described as feeble, and I think that's a perfect description. So well done, Martin. I do want to talk about Kazuya Onohara. This guy scored 3 J League goals in his career so far. 2 of them have been absolute belters. That was fantastic. What I liked about this goal was that you could see it seemed like it was still gaining power when it hit the back of the net. Mm. It was a brilliant noise when it hit the top corner. It was fantastic. Like Goldie didn't even move, or hardly move, just to watch it go past him. That was, yeah, brilliant. Good stuff. I'm glad to see him doing well. Ex-Kanazawa man. One of many up at Akita, actually. I think they've got 5 ex-Kanazawa players up there now. Yeah, so happy for him, and good for Akita to get their first win, because I know that losing the first two, always you get a bit antsy. So that's Saturday. Let's talk about Sunday, shall we? There were some lots of talking points on Sunday. We had Sendai beat Mito 1-0, and Oita won 1-0 away to Fujieda. Okayama also won 1-0 at home to Yamaguchi. And then Nagasaki 4, Shimizu 1, Ehime 2, Kumamoto 3, and Gunma 1, Jeff United 3. So the goal scoring picked up as the afternoon went on. Mm. What caught your eye from Sunday?
Plenty to run the rule over here, I think. Let's start with the easier games from a pod analysis point of view. I think Sendai had 13,000 inside Yurtec for their home opener against Mito. So, yeah, fantastic, you know, crowd for them. And the goal that won it from Yunosuke Saga was a brilliant lob, wasn't it, over the keeper. Really, really enjoyed that goal. So, yeah, good win for Sendai. And yeah, they're joint top, aren't they? 7 points from three games with Okayama, who I think their win against Yamaguchi was 1-0 at home. And it was very similar to the Sendai game against Mito, which is the home team having all the possession and kind of just hammering on the door. And it was a question of whether they get the breakthrough or not. And it seemed like Okayama might not. But then with 6 minutes left, Yudai Tanaka bundled in a corner to give them the win. So it's Sendai and Okayama leading the pack after three rounds. I should mention Yamaguchi had Tsubasa Umeki sent off late on. In this game for a kind of a straight red card for sort of violent conduct. I think it was quite innocuous stuff, to be honest. And I think what has done him really is he put his head down as if to headbutt the Okayama player. But then actually at the same time, he pushed the player over. So if you see it from a certain angle, it looks like he's headbutted the guy and he's gone down. Yeah. But what it actually did was he kind of shaped to headbutt him and then didn't or thought better of it, but pushed him over anyway. So I think from the referee's point of view, it looked like a headbutt.
Because he was fouled by, I think it was Tanaka who fouled him. Right? So he got up annoyed and went over and did that thing footballers do when they're trying to look tough and put their head down as if they're going to just nuzzle someone. and then he kind of chest bumped him or pushed him. And obviously the guy fell over because what gets me is why this is something that's I've wondered about in sports generally, why retaliation is punished more than the original offence, and in life generally, right? When you're telling off, when children get told off, it's, oh, he started it, yeah, I don't care, but you retaliated. Why is retaliation worse than the original offence? Person wouldn't retaliate if they had nothing to retaliate against.
I think this is a good point, and you're sort of widening the scope of the discussion more than expected. basically, life isn't fair is probably the easiest answer. Yeah. But I'm agreeing with you. It's really frustrating. I think from my point of view, I think if you're the coach, Kei Shibata at Yamaguchi, you've got a small squad and you're especially short of forwards. You don't really want to lose someone for a couple of games for an avoidable.
It's stupid for Umeki to react like that. Yes. Right? Yes. Just shout at the ref instead. So he fouled me, giving me a yellow card. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. It's just I don't have it. There's no easy fix for that. But I think he can play in the Levan Cup this midweek because I don't think suspensions count because someone got sent off in round one and then played in the Levan Cup in the so I think it's in round two, sorry, in J2 and then played in the Levan Cup. So I think he can play. I mean, we can perhaps he can work out his frustrations by having some shots and scoring some goals. But it was one of those where it was kind of annoying on every level, wasn't it? Because it was he was punished. He got the maximum punishment for the retaliation. Shouldn't have retaliated in the first place. But costly red card, I think. So they Yamaguchi can't afford to be losing their strikers, I don't think. Oita getting their first win away at Fujeda is big for them. Nice goal from Kenshin Yasuda. Fujeda, no goals in the first three games. I didn't have that on my bingo card because obviously last season they were refreshingly sort of handbrake free. I'm a bit worried that they might be. Well, they're in. If you look at the league table right now, they're in trouble. Obviously, it's early days, but yeah, no goals in three games is pretty troubling. I think team that's not really struggling for goals is Ehime, as we mentioned in our Levan Cup roundup. And I thought their game against Kumamoto was thrilling and had just about everything, didn't it? I mean, the opening goal was an absolute horror show from Ehime's keeper, Shugo Tsuji. What on earth he is doing just defies description. So he got dispossessed, basically standing on his own goal line, and Chihiro Konaga, who's impressive again, tapped in to make it 1-0. At the other end, Shunsuke Tanimoto scored an absolute thunderbolt to make it 1-1. And Ehime got a penalty for a handball, but it was saved by Ryuga Tashiro, who I just love his reactions because he's like an anime character, isn't he?
Yeah.
That
was the retake that was saved.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't
because
in my,
there was the first one was scored, but there was an Ehime player who ran so far into the box, he was almost in line with the penalty spot, and then ran back and jumped to try and get both feet over the line before the kick was taken, which I think technically might have done, but referee called it as encroachment, so he had to retake it, and he tried to put it in the same place, but it was saved.
See, that's even more drama. Wow, because the encroachment My personally, I'm digressing, James. I apologise. As long as it doesn't influence the kick, does it matter if anybody encroached or not? Like, I can understand if the kick is saved and then it comes back to a player who was encroaching and they score, then the kick needs to be retaken. But if a player encroaches and it makes no impact, I mean, I saw something that I've noticed a lot of in J2 early this year is at the kickoff of each half, the player who's taking the kickoff will fake it.
Yeah, they started doing that last year a lot as well, and it's just
but almost invariably someone is encroaching into the other team's half at that point, and the referee almost never brings it back because what's the point? So I just wonder, perhaps that might be a topic for wider football discussion. But the kick was initially scored, and then the retake was saved. So we got to see a big Ryuga Tashiro reaction. Of course, he knows no other type of reaction. So never mind. But the second half was good too. Daichi Ishikawa, favourite player of mine, set up this young kid Konagaya, who rolled in for 2-1 Kumamoto. Mm-hmm. 3 minutes left, and Shunsuke Kikuchi scoring for Ehime. That's how good things are going for them. He got on the end of a loose ball for 2-2. And then in second half stoppage time, Kumamoto won it. And I've got to be honest, with apologies to Onohara-san, this was my, I don't think this was the best goal of the round, but it was my favourite. Ryotaro Onishi just driving in with the outside of the boot from the edge of the box for 3-2. So this was royal entertainment really for Ehime supporters. Yeah. I know they've lost 4-3 to Nagasaki after extra time and then 3-2 at home, but in terms of entertainment, I mean, you've had your money's worth, haven't you? So and just to round up, Jeff won 3-1 away at Gunma. UK referee Will Finney was the man in charge for this one, wasn't he? Because there's some international referees in the J League just at the moment on a kind of a, I don't know what you want to call it, cultural exchange. Referee exchange. It's like basically he's on his gap year basically. Not sure what he made of Gunma's defending in this game, but Shogo Sasaki bundled in a corner to give Jeff the lead. The defending that made it 2-0, Naoki Tsubaki's goal was absolutely ridiculous. Gunma's captain, Hayate Ishiro, are trying to kind of shepherd the ball behind the goal for a goal kick, but he just got caught out. I don't know how you get caught out doing this. It's, surely pretty obvious what's going to happen. But they still had a chance to clear, didn't they, Gunma? But a defender cleared it against a teammate, and the ball just dropped perfectly for Tsubaki to score. Yuya Takazawa pulled one back, and it was nearly 2-2 when Kosuke Sagawa, who's been a real star so far for Gunma on loan from Tokyo Verde, he had a kind of impudent back heel that came back off the post. Mm-hmm. But nothing doing, and Hiro Komori scored late on to seal the win for Jeff. So Jeff travelling well at the moment. Then we should come to the kind of the real blockbuster of the round, which was Nagasaki beating Shimizu 4-1. At Trans Cosmos Stadium. So first league win of the season for Nagasaki, and some style, you have to say. I don't think we saw the best of Shuichi Gonda in the Shimizu goal, and I don't think we have for a while. So I think this has been coming, but he sort of came racing off his line for the first Nagasaki goal, which Asahi Masuyama just lobbed over his head. And then for the second one, Gonda had to come off his line again, and he sort of did well to kind of tackle Edgar Junior. But the ball went straight to Masuyama, and then he sort of was able to ride a pretty powder puff challenge from Yuji Takahashi that then set up Edgar Jr. to make it 2-0 at half time. Takashi Inui scored with an arrow from the edge of the box to pull a goal back for Shimizu in the second half, but Edgar Jr. was unmarked at a corner, and there was nobody on the post, either post, to make it 3-1. And then younger Tsubasa Kaseyanagi, he came off the bench. Some trickery from him in the box. Trickery from him in the box even set up Marcos Gilherm, who rolled in his first J-League goal from about 12 yards. The defending on this goal from Marcos Gilherm was powder puff, would be an insult to powder puffs, I think. So, but Shimizu just did not have a good day at the office at all. I think a lot of that was down to how well Nagasaki sort of pressed them and forced them into making mistakes at the back. But fantastic win for Nagasaki. James, I've talked for ages. What did you think of the Sunday football?
Yeah, there's lots to talk about. I mean, that I watched Fujita against Oita because I hadn't seen either of those teams yet. And what I saw really confirmed my pre-season concerns. Thought Fujita looked quite good going forwards, and they're good at getting Ken Yamada on the ball as their striker. But the problem is he's always so far from goal when he gets the ball. Although he links up well with like Keigo Enomoto and other wide players, he's then not there to get on the end of whatever those guys do. And defensively, Fujeda are quite dodgy. They only conceded one here, but the reason for that is because Oita not very good in attack, to be honest. I thought their shooting left a lot to be desired. They got into good positions, but the shots were off target or straight at the keeper. And they're very uninspired, I think, going forward. And that was something we said pre-season, where are the goals going to come from? And they got one here, it's enough. But on another day when they're facing like Ehime, for example, one won't be enough. I do think that Yuki Kagawa, left back for Oita, looked pretty good. He made one very important tackle, like a last-ditch tackle, from a good Fujieda chance. And he was quite involved in a lot of the attacking build-up for Oita. So he played well. And so a good win for Oita, but still plenty for them to work on. So, what else? I mean, that Nagasaki win is it was an excellent win. And those are the guys who did all the damage in the week, right? So, as we've said, use the cup games. It can help you in the league. Those guys, Edgar Jr., Matheus Jesus, Marcus Guilherme, Juanma Delgado, they all played well and were involved heavily in the win on Wednesday night. And they managed to transfer that or carry it on to Sunday against a team that are most people's favourites for promotion in Shimizu. And very unusual to see Shimizu concede four. I agree that Gonda looks out of form. He was a bit, he had a bit of a dodgy moment the week before, didn't he? One of the goals that he I can't remember who it was against, but he should have. Probably should have kicked it out.
He let a free kick. Free kick went all the way through, didn't he?
Yeah. I remember him conceding goals like that last year as well, or at least one like that last year. So, yeah, might be. Maybe he'll get a rest.
I'm not sure we've seen the best of him at Shimizu, you know, period, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I'm not out to get him personally or anything.
No.
But we're in sort of territory from like the goalkeeper at Sendai last year,
where
and he was just making mistake after mistake, and people just couldn't understand. Like, I mean, you start thinking, you know, Jesus, what the other goalkeepers? What is wrong with the other goalkeepers? You know, on the roster if they can't get a game, at this point. So we'll see. Obviously, he has been a great goalkeeper, and he has a good reputation. He's played for the national team. I think so. No one's questioning his pedigree or his class. But at the moment, I don't know if he's helping the team necessarily. Should mention he was very underprotected, wasn't he?
Didn't get any help
as well. To be fair, he didn't get any help at all.
Yeah. So quite surprised by that result, but now we've seen in the last week we've seen what we thought Nagasaki could do. We kind of expected like this attacking array of foreign talent. At least I've kind of been thinking that they should be doing this every week for the last year. And we didn't really see it much from them last year. We saw it occasionally, painfully so, against Kanazawa, but not enough, which is one of the reasons why they missed out on the playoffs. But if they can, I mean, they're not going to score four every game, but if they can keep these guys fit and firing, then I think they'll be a force to be reckoned with.
We should shout out the Vivicast, James.
Yes,
by Daniel and Chikashi. So yeah, we can put a little bit about that in the description for this pod. But there's a Nagasaki podcast run by our friends Daniel and Chikashi. I think their first episode's out before this game, but I'm sure they're looking forward to recording the next one and maybe going heavy on this match when they do.
Yeah, and also they called out Marcus Guilherme for not being able to use his left foot, and then he scored with his left foot. So I think it was Daniel tweeted that obviously he was listening. So well done, guys. That's good. For Gunma, worrying defense again. I'd be interested to see how Jeff do against a team that doesn't just gift them goals, because they had a very easy time of it against Fujieda, and they had a fairly easy time of it against Gunma, in terms of, you know, kind of being given a head start, as it were. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Ehime Kumamoto. This was fun. I only saw the highlights of this one. I didn't have time to watch the whole thing, but wow, this, even in the highlights, was pretty. It looked fantastic. So much going on, like you said. My favourite bit of the winning goal, which was really good, was the defender on the left side ended up kind of spinning round on his bum. And the left, I think it was it Matsuoka on the left, managed to get away from him and put the cross in that came to the guy who scored the winner. So yeah, good for Kumamoto, who, I think it was Gary tweeted the other day, like, they should have had 6 points from the first two games, really. Mm. They let a lead slip against Shimizu and lost. They let a lead slip against Gunma and drew.
Mm.
Well, now they let a lead slip here, but they managed to win. So Gary Owen,
not the most objective source you could find for Kumamoto, but I think he's right in this case. I do agree, they've yeah, it's good for them to get their first win, and they probably should have more points than they have. Yeah, after three rounds.
Yeah. So there we go. That's all of the weekends and the midweek. Not all of midweek. Most of midweek rounded up. Before we move on to previewing, John, we've got to reveal our most Bravo players. Now, this can be anyone from obviously it can be anyone based on performances in the cup matches and the league matches at the weekend. Any honourable mentions, and who's your final selection?
Yes, I have an honourable mention for Matthias Jesus at Nagasaki in midfield, because I think he played really well in the Levan Cup game against Ehime. I think he scored two. And then he was also fairly imperious in the midfield for Nagasaki. He sort of bossed that kind of midfield areas. They sort of pulverized Shimizu 4-1 at the weekend, and he played the full 90 minutes. So, I feel like in the past couple of seasons, there's been like one of, it doesn't matter who is Nagasaki manager, a sort of rangy, tall Brazilian central midfielder has kind of been a staple. It was Caio Cesar for a few years. And then now Matthias Jesus seems to be sort of groomed to take on that role. And I thought he was really impressive in the two games. He's my honourable mention. But I will have to pick Kaina Tanimura as my most Bravo player for this week, because he, I believe he only scored 7 goals all season last year in 41 games. But with his brace against Kagoshima, rather, for Iwaki, and his assist, he's on 3 goals in 3 already this season. So he started the season really well. And we sort of made fun of him a bit last year for missing chances.
Yeah,
Iwaki were kind of like Iwaki's like XG last year must have been much higher than the actual goals they scored. But he started the season well. I thought he scored 2 good headers, and then he had the presence of mind to set up a 3rd goal for Iwaki in that game. And if it wasn't for him, I'm not sure they would have had such an easy route to the 3 points. So it's kind of Tanimura for me. But James, how about you?
Yeah, well, I think you could make an argument for any of Nagasaki's attack, like Masuyama, Edgar, Matthias Jesus, Marcus Guillermo, Juanma Delgado. They were all excellent across the two games, whether they played whole games or parts of games. They all had significant effects on the matches, positive effects on the matches for the most part. I thought Yuki Kagawa Oita played well. And of course, I've got to give an honourable mention to Kazuya Onohara, scoring a very un-Akita-like goal for Akita, I think it's fair to say. But I also chose Kaina Tanimura. I thought 2 very good headers, like from he had to sort of crane his neck and he managed to angle the ball into the corner.
Yes, very good technique on both goals, wasn't it?
And very neat, kind of clever flick pass to set up the 3rd goal. He was the difference between the teams, I think, really. Yeah, we did make fun of him last year because he was so wasteful. He scored 7 goals, but I think it must have been from about 700 shots. But perhaps now he's found his radar, and I think Iwaki needs him to, because, and this, again, Leslie mentioned, I think, in his preview, like They lost a lot of players over the winter. And Tanimura, he's got to step up now for this year. He's got to be their reliable goal scorer. Last year, his goal scorer wasn't reliable.
Well, it's sometimes the case that when the main man leaves, it does create this space that other players can fill. So obviously, when I think of Iwaki from last year, Rio Arita is the, you know, the target man, the forward, or Iwabuchi, you know, coming in from the wide positions. Now, Tanimura has the chance to sort of step up, as you said, and take on that role as being like the main man in front. Some players want that and relish that, I think. Most forwards want to be the main man, don't they? And for other players, that can be a really difficult pressure to deal with. So at the moment, he's coping with it extremely well, I feel. And you could perhaps draw a parallel with Junya Takahashi at Yamagata, where, you know, instead of having to wait for chances behind De La Torre and Thiago Alves this year, he's the main man. He's trusted to lead the line and get the goals. And I think it's the same with Tanimura. Whether it's by necessity or design, he is the main man up front at the moment. And he seems to be wearing that wearing the crown pretty well.
Yeah. All right. We only made it to match day three before we ended up choosing the same player. So that's kind of, hoping we'd get much further into the season.
Great minds, well, James. Great minds. Yeah.
I think that means that Kaina Tanimura is the most Bravo player so far this season.
Well, the most Bravo player.
Yeah, the Bravoist.
We can workshop this. Sure. Yeah, we can workshop this.
We need to get in touch with Machida Zelvia's social media people and find out the correct term. Now, let's move on to previews. Extra time. The rest of the Levan Cup first round is coming up Wednesday the 13th. There's one game at 6 o'clock, Iwate against Tochigi. Then the other game's at 7, Fukushima against Kumamoto, Matsumoto against Yamaguchi, Nagano against Tokushima, Toyama versus Yamagata, FC Osaka against Iwaki. Plus there are two games with J3 against J3, so we'll leave those for Mike. And... John, any of these games stand out for you?
Yeah, it's tricky to pick, I think, because whenever it's J2 against J3, like we mentioned previewing last week, we can't really, there isn't really anything that's going to be in the kind of cup shock, you know, territory, I don't think. But in just to refer back to last, you know, the first half of round one, as I'm calling it, there were 9 games and 5 J2 wins, 4 J3 wins, which we're going to hear about more from Mike in a moment, as you mentioned. So I don't think anything will be a shock on this kind of card of games either. I think there's a sneaky game at 6 p.m, isn't there? Iwate Tochigi. So yep. Anyone who's finishing work early or is not at work or is a student can enjoy a sort of tea time kickoff. The other games are all at 7 p.m. I think I'd pick out Matsumoto Yamaguchi, mainly because that's the free game on Lamino this week. But I also think there's, even though it's J3 hosting J2, there's not a great deal to pick between those two teams, I don't think. And, you know, in every kind of off the field sense, I think Matsumoto are the bigger club.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how they approach that game. Where I think, to be honest, you could make an argument for Matsumoto being favourites, even though they're the J3 team. So that'll be an interesting clash. And FC Osaka against Iwaki, I also thought sounded good because FC Osaka are having it off, aren't they, at the top of J3?
Yeah, but the problem is they didn't have a competitive match at the weekend, did they?
It wasn't
competitive.
That's kind of my point. They'll have lots of energy left in the tank to deal with Iwaki. So again, and this is a fixture that, you know, 2 or 3 years ago would have probably been a non-league game.
Yeah.
So to have a you know, FC Osaka in J3 and Iwaki in J2 is an interesting kind of historical moment. You know, they're meeting in a new competition which is only open to professional, you know, J-League teams. So I'm curious to see how that goes, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if Iwaki rotate some players and FC Osaka punish them for that. So that I'd say Matsumoto Yamaguchi and FC Osaka against Iwaki are my picks. Well, what about you?
Yeah, I picked out those two, and I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, it's interesting. Iwaki are in their third year as a J-League club and Osaka their second. So that's, yeah, it's quite interesting meeting between two quite new members of the J-League. And FC Osaka are flying very high at the moment, having a good time. I also think that Nagano Tokushima be interesting. I think Nagano will fancy their chances. I think every team should fancy their chances. But seeing how bad Tokushima have been so far this year,
Be interesting to see if Tokushima pick a strong team for this game.
I think they have to. I think that they need to use this the way Nagasaki did the other night, right? If you put out a strong team, you win, get some confidence, take it back into the league. Tokushima desperately need results. I think it's too early in the season to think, well, we don't want to bother with the cup because we're in a relegation battle and we need to focus on survival that you get in, you know, like in the Premier League and stuff like that. We've only played 3 league games. I think that they should use this as a chance to get into form. You can make a few changes because not every player can play two games a week or 2 full games a week. And give some other players a chance, but I think they need to put out a strong side and try and get their season going before they end. Because last year they started 11 games winless, wasn't it? They don't want to do that again.
Yeah, it looks like they're repeating a lot of the same mistakes from last year, I think, at the moment.
I mean, the way they've been playing, it looks like they're going to go longer than 11 games winless to start the season. So something needs to change. They need something to go their way. So that stands out for me. It's going to be another interesting another group of fixtures. And I'm sure we'll see some interesting results and hopefully some good crowds as well, because there were a few good crowds last Wednesday. Let's talk about the league matches coming up at the weekend, round 4 of J2. Most of the games are on Saturday the 16th. At 2:00, Akita against Sendai, Yamagata against Kofu, Mito against Tokushima, Tochigi play Yokohama FC, Gunma face Ehime, Shimizu take on Oita, Fujieda welcome Okayama, and then at 3:00, Kagoshima play Jeff again. And an interesting quirk of the fixture list. And on Sunday, 2 games, at 1:00, Kumamoto against Iwaki, and at 1:15, Yamaguchi play Nagasaki. So what do you think about the weekend's fixtures, John?
I need more than 2 eyes to keep track of the 2 p.m. games on Saturday, right? So seven games all kicking off at the same time is a bit hectic. I think Akita Sendai looks interesting. Obviously, it's Akita's first home game. They've had 3 straight away games to start the season, and it's against a Tohoku rival. It's a much bigger team, so you imagine there'll be a big turnout of Akita supporters because it's their first home game, and there'll be a big turnout of Sendai supporters because it's Sendai. I think that has the potential to feel like a big occasion. And perhaps Akita will rise to that. Obviously, they've had back-to-back wins, you know, away from home in the Levan Cup and in the league, so they'll have some confidence. And Sendai have started really well and look transformed from last season. So I think that's going to be a good clash. Yamagata Kofu, it's Yamagata's first home game as well. And both of these teams going into this game on a loss, right? Yamagata lost at Yokohama FC. Kofu, annoyingly, I'm sure for them, lost at home to Tochigi. So they'll be looking to put that right. And Yamagata will be looking forward to having a first home game. The other game that I thought looked good was Fujieda Okayama. Because Fujieda haven't scored yet in the first 3 games, as we mentioned. Okayama don't give too much away at the back. So you can imagine, you know, it's quite easy to imagine a world where Okayama grind out a 1-0 win and leave Fujieda on, 4 defeats and no goals scored after 4 rounds. And, with the chance of Sendai dropping points, Akita, Okayama could find themselves sort of in sole leadership of the league table after 4 games, which would be better than expected, I think, from our point of view for them. After 4 games. So, and maybe Shimizu Oita as well, because Shimizu have got some bouncing back to do, haven't they? After being well beaten at Nagasaki. So, and Kagoshima, Jeff, it's like you said, it's weird that they're playing again 10 days after meeting in the Levan Cup at the same stadium. And Jeff perhaps will be looking for some revenge after losing to that penalty in the Cup game. On Sunday, I'll just mention Yamaguchi, sort of kings of the odd kickoff time, aren't they, this season? I think Ehime had 12:50, didn't they, earlier in the season? Yamaguchi sort of trying to one-up them with 1:15. And it'll be interesting to see how they do against Nagasaki. And I will bring you in, James, but it's interesting, you know, obviously some of these games are going to have a midweek game and some are not. So that could affect team selection. We should mention as well, next Wednesday, March 20th, has a full round of J2 games because it's national holiday. And most of those games are going to be afternoon kickoffs because it's a holiday. So, you know, there's a really tight, for some of these teams, there's a really tight turnaround, isn't there? So that could affect performances. It could affect team selection. So we'll have to keep a close eye on the lineups, I think. But yeah, what about you?
Yeah, well, most of the time, like Akita Sendai is a Tohoku derby, or you know, they always get a big crowd for that game. And I hadn't registered that it was Akita's first home game, but that's a good one, a good first game for them. They should get a big crowd, and they seem to be finding their feet. The win in the week, and then a win at the weekend should be. Hopefully, they'll be able to, you know, keep that rolling. Yamagata Kofu as well. Those two teams that we're expecting to be up near the top. Both lost at the weekend, and Kofu have had a week off while Yamagata will be playing in Toyama. So that'll be interesting, I think. And yeah, Kumamoto Iwaki on Sunday, both teams were played in midweek. So it'd be interesting to see. You know, there's always a chance that they had to go to extra time to make it even tougher. And but both won last weekend in the league, so should both be kind of gaining in confidence, I think. Kumamoto have been playing quite well, even though they've only won one game. And Iwaki seem to be getting better. They got that late equaliser against Okayama, and then they've just beaten Kagoshima. So, yeah, I think there's lots to look out for. It's a shame most of them all kicking off at the same time.
Yeah. And, might be some heavy legs for Kumamoto and Iwaki, right? Because they're both away on Wednesday.
Yeah, I think this is going to be really interesting to see how teams manage this these few weeks. So teams, you know, cup games, weekend games, and then midweek league games, and then another weekend game, and then finally they get a break. But then you told me earlier there's a midweek round at the start of April as well, which I'd forgotten about. So yeah, it's very front-loaded at the moment. And then in the middle of April is the next round of the Cup. So some teams will have another midweek match then. So, yeah,
Podcaster's nightmare, James.
Well, that's my main concern, yeah. But also in terms of the actual football, a secondary concern is I think we all see which teams have good strength and depth in their squads, but also we'll see which managers have the wherewithal to rotate effectively and which managers have the confidence in the squad to rotate. Because we may see teams that don't make any changes for midweek or one or two changes for midweek, and then later in the season, we may see the full effects of that, where teams are struggling because their backup players are not match ready enough, or just because their main 11 are too knackered and they, you know, run out of steam. So I think this early part of the season is going to be quite hard for a lot of teams, but not for Kofu, because they don't join the cup until much later because of their Asian Champions League fixtures. So they will be looking to take full advantage of other teams' extra commitments at this stage of the season, I think. All right, there's loads of football. It just keeps coming. We're going to leave it there for J2. Thanks, John. It's always a pleasure to talk to you about football.
Oh, thanks, James. Thanks for taking time out of your birthday to talk to me. It's much appreciated. The sacrifice is appreciated by me and the listeners, I'm sure.
Oh, this is my treat, actually, my birthday. Yes, but
Jesus.
Yeah, what a sad life. No. thanks. Thanks, John. Thanks, everyone, for listening and downloading and sharing, etc. And thanks to everyone who supports JTalk Extra Time and JTalk Podcast on Patreon. Don't go away, because there's still more football to come. Mike Innes has JTalk Short Corner, which has got the rest of the Levan Cup and all of the weekend's J3 action.
JTalk Extra Time. Hello and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that covers all things J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode, I'll be looking back on fixtures in the Lavan Cup and in round three of the new J3 season, as well as previewing the next set of midweek Lavan Cup ties and the round four matches coming up this weekend. As John and James covered on Wednesday, 6th of March, there were seven Lavan Cup first round encounters with J3 interest. And as if proof were needed that J3 is better than J2, four of those ties, in other words, the clear majority, were won by the third tier representatives. And it's those I'll be concentrating on here. Azul Claro Numazu continued their stunning start to the season by beating Vegalta Sendai. Numazu were trailing 1-0 with 11 minutes to go, at which point Korsei Numata dinked in a cross, Hagumi Wada headed it on, Kotaro Tokunaga lashed in a volley. The J2 side retook the lead soon afterwards, but with 87 minutes on the clock, Azul Claro drew level again, Takumi Tsukui crossing to the far post, where Takumi Hama nodded it back across goal for rookie Numata to finish with ease. Then, in stoppage time, recent signing Manabu Saito, playing against his previous club, launched a high ball into the Sendai box. Mikhail Akatsuka headed it into the danger zone, setting up Hama to round off a famous victory. 3-2 Numazu, they meet Hokkaido Consadole Sapporo in the next round. FC Ryukyu Okinawa took advantage of two howlers to get past Fujieda My FC at the Tapic Kenso Hyagon Stadium. Fujieda opened the scoring early in the second half, but by 52 minutes, Ryukyu were level, Shou Hiramatsu sending in a through pass, keeper Kaichiri Kitamura neither advancing off his line or guarding his near post, allowing Yuta Sato to score. 10 minutes from time, Kitamura's clearance went direct to Sato, who promptly registered his second from the edge of the area. 2-1 Ryukyu, Gamba Osaka await. At Mitsuzawa, in the 67th minute of the tie against Mito Hollyhock, Koki Matsumura's thunderous right foot shot from a pass by Hiroto Domoto was enough to give YSCC Yokohama the win, despite defender Yutaro Yanagi later receiving a second yellow card for a foul on Fumiya Sugiura. Indeed, in addition to Yanagi, the Kanagawa Seagulls had six players booked in this one. Still, it finished 1-0 YSCC. They go through to take on FC Tokyo. Triumphant in front of a crowd of 4,412 at the Mikuni World Stadium were Giravants Kitakyushu, although they needed extra time to get past near neighbours Oita Trinita. Takeya Inui key in this match. In only the second minute, he made a brilliant run into the box, but was just off target with a header. And 7 minutes from the end of extra time, Inui floated in a cross for Sunflowers rookie Sota Watanabe to net the game's only goal. 1-0 Kitakyushu, they host J1 New Boys FC Machida Zelvia in the next round. J-Talk Extra Time. Now on to round three of the J3 season, and there were four games on Saturday the 9th of March. And we start once again at the Gogo Curry Stadium, where Zvegan Kanazawa's defensive failings were brutally exposed in their heaviest defeat so far. FC Osaka, the opposition, and disaster struck early for the home side, for in the 6th minute, Osaka's Kazuya Mima curled a high ball into the area where Takuya Akiyama easily saw off the challenge of Hiroto Hatao to glance in the header. On 28 minutes, it was 2-0 as homekeeper Takumi Yamanoi rushed a clearance straight to Rikuto Kubo, who set up Naoki Tanaka to sweep in from the edge of the box. A glimmer of hope for Zvegan was provided by Kyohei Sugiura on the score sheet 6 minutes after the restart via a sweet angled header to dispatch Takeyoshi Ishihara's cross. But on 57 minutes, the hosts failed to deal with a Shunsuke Tachino corner kick, leaving Tachino to swing it back into the middle for Ryusei Saito to touch in. Kanazawa pulled one back through a blistering half volley from Masaya Kojima, but from there it was downhill all the way for Akira Ito's team, leaving space for Takumi Shimada to head in Rui Tone's cross for 4-2 and closing out the match with not one but two own goals, both from veteran Hatao. The first, a mystifying under no pressure near post header. The second, a deflection off Masaki Nishimura's low cross. Final score, Kanazawa 2, Osaka 6. 3 losses, 12 conceded is all you need to know about Zvegan's start to the season. But let's not deny agency to Naoto Otake's Sky Blues. Absolutely clinical in front of goal here. Maximum points, 3 wins from 3. Elsewhere, SC Sagamihara lost their 100% record, only managing a draw at AC Nagano Parseiro. Nagano could have been out of sight by half-time, but Hinata Konishi missed a sitter and Kyoji Kutsuna had a goal ruled out for a questionable offside. As it was, the home team were one up at the break, Kensei Ukita laying it off for Kutsuna to loop a shot over Motoaki Miura. Sagamihara's equaliser came 3 minutes from time. A long ball hammered upfield by Ryoji Yamashita. Bruno Santos fending off the challenge of Hayato Ikegaya before steering his shot inside the post. Even then, Parseiro could have won it in injury time. A Yasufumi Nishimura half volley bringing a goal line block out of visiting keeper Miura. Final score, Nagano 1, Sagamihara 1. Definitely a Parseiro performance with more pep, but they couldn't close out the win. The Green and Blacks remain unbeaten, their results somewhat better than their football. And Nagano's neighbours Matsumoto Yamaga were also held to a home draw by YSCC Yokohama, who included Malaysian star Lukman Hakim in the lineup for the first time. Dominant they may have been, Matsumoto nevertheless conceded the opener early in the second half, their sleepy defence allowing Jorn Pedersen to cut it back and Ryotaro Yamamoto to finish from 15 yards. And Yamaga needed a penalty to tie things up. Awarded for an unlucky handball by Kento Dodate, confidently converted by Hayato Asakawa for his first goal in a green shirt. For all their possession, the Ptarmigans rarely caused problems for a decent shot stopper like YSCC's Jun Kodama, and it was only in the closing moments Kodama was forced into serious action, making a point-blank save to deny Takato Nonomura. Final score, Matsumoto 1, YSCC 1. The sort of ponderous performance Masahiro Shimada's team produced all too often last season. Kazuki Kuranuki's side scored from their only chance, still await their first win. The same is also true of Katari Toyama and Nara Club, who played out a draw in the snow and sunshine of Toyama Stadium. 4 minutes before the break, an uncharacteristic error from Tomoki Tagawa handed the visitors the lead when the young homekeeper allowed a scrambled shot from Manato Hyakuda to squirm under his body and over the line. Toyama pulled level on the hour, taking advantage of some sloppy Nara defending when Shosaku Yasumitsu's cross somehow made its way through to the far post and Tsubasa Yoshihira. The home captain's first touch was good, his second a rifled shot inside the post. And a further rare moment of quality came 15 minutes from time, a Katare team move ending with a venomous shot from Daichi Matsuoka, well saved by Mark Vito. Final score, Toyama 1, Nara 1, a third straight tie for Katare. No sign yet of them firing on all cylinders. The away side continuing to offer up at least one major error per game. Nara's start to 2024, sluggish at best.
Extra Time.
Three games followed on Sunday the 10th, and at the Satoyama Stadium, two clubs with hitherto perfect records met as FC Imabari squared off against Azul Claro Numazu. In contrast with their Levan Cup tie, this was something of an afternoon to forget for Azul Claro, who enjoyed the bulk of possession but did little with it. The visitors' only meaningful scoring opportunity, a header from centre-back Yuya Tsukegi, which John Ander Cervantes got down well to keep out. That was in the last 5 minutes, and a well-organised Imabari had scored what turned out to be the game's only goal midway through the first half, Toyofumi Sakano receiving the ball in the middle and touching it off for Takafumi Yamada. He in turn passed it on to Takatora Kondo, who blasted home from 15 yards. Final score Imabari 1, Numazu 0. Toshihiro Hattori's Imabari managing the game well and stifling their opponents' attacking options. Down to earth with a bump for Masashi Nakayama's team after their midweek cup excitement. FC Gifu scored 4 for the second consecutive home game, but didn't have it all their own way against Kamatamari Senoki. The Gifu fans saw their side go 2-up inside the opening 4 minutes. First, Kosuke Fujioka converting Ryoma Ishida's low cross, then Ryo Nishitani's shot deflecting off defender Yudai Okuda to squeeze inside the far post. Kamatamari's travelling support must have been fearing the worst, but their team were level by the half hour, winter signing Yohei Ono scoring both goals, making it 2-1 by prodding it in after Soichiro Fukaminato headed Gentaro Yoshida's high ball across goal, equalising from a penalty awarded when he brushed past keeper Shu Mogi and fell over. Mogi was substituted soon afterwards and his replacement Tomoki Ueda saved brilliantly from ex-Gifu favourite Shota Kawanishi to keep the score 2-2 at half-time. But Gifu regained the lead 6 minutes after the break. Takeyuki Anakaki's deep cross nodded back towards goal by Yuya Taguchi, Kentaro Kai climbing well to head home. 20 minutes later, Senoki drew level once again, Nina Tominaga receiving Yoshida's through pass in space and finishing clinically from 10 yards. But the home side had the last word, a break down the left leading to Ryoma Kita getting in the cross for Shohei Aihara to control and shoot into the bottom corner. Final score, Gifu 4, Senoki 3. Gifu, in the early stages of the season, demonstrating they have multiple routes to goal. Kamatamane's resilience here, not enough to get them over the line. And finally this week, two early season strugglers met at Gainane Tottori, where the visitors were Tegevajano Miyazaki. Despite Miyazaki being in charge for most of the match, it was Tottori who went in front in the 72nd minute when the underrated Hideyatsu Ozawa cleverly made space for the cross and sent it to the far post. Panic ensued in the away defence. Rookie Shota Tanaka stabbed it over the line for his first J-League goal and indeed Gainari's first goal of 2024. The hosts' lead lasted only 5 minutes. Miyazaki left back Tomoyasu Yoshida swinging in the cross. Home sub Sota Maruyama making a dreadful attempt at a clearance. Shu Yoshizawa gleefully firing in the loose ball. Incidentally, Yoshizawa, a winter signing from Iwaki FC, has scored all of Tegevajaro's 3 league goals so far. Final score, Tottori 1, Miyazaki 1. Of the two teams, it's Gainane who look less equipped for the season ahead. Tegevajaro have shown something at least in all their games and now are off the mark. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after most teams have played their round 3 games. The top 6 are Osaka and Imabari leading the way with 9 points. Then it's Sagamihara with 7, Numazu 6, Omiya 6 and a game in hand, and Gifu also 6. Down at the other end of the table, the bottom six are YSCC with 2 points, Kitakyushu with one and a game in hand, Miyazaki and Tottori, one, Hachinohe, none and a game in hand, and bottom of the table, with none, Kanazawa. Just time now for a quick look ahead to the midweek Lavan Cup ties and then the round four fixtures over the weekend. On Wednesday the 13th of March there are 8 Lavan Cup first round encounters with J3 interest. A pair of all J3 ties that pitch Hachinohe against Kanazawa and Gifu against Omiya. There's also Iwate against Tochigi SC, Fukushima against Roasso Kumamoto, Matsumoto against Renofa Yamaguchi, Nagano against Tokushima Vortis, Toyama against Monterio Yamagata, and Osaka against Iwaki FC. Then in J3 Round 4, there are 6 games on Saturday the 16th of March. At Hanazono, leaders Osaka welcome 6th place Gifu. 2nd place Imabari make the trip to YSCC. Can Numazu bounce back at home to Kitakyushu? For Omiya, there's a 3rd home fixture in a row as they host Nara. Both teams still looking for their first win. It's Saneki against Nagano. And another big game at the foot of the table as Miyazaki meet Kanazawa. 4 games follow on Sunday the 17th. 3rd placed Sagami Hana are at home to Ryukyu. Matsumoto and Toyama both head north to Fukushima and Hachinohe respectively. And finally, Iwate play host to Tottori. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.